Hey everyone, welcome back to the How to Be Your Own Muse podcast. It's Katie. This episode I'm really, really excited about because I know that this is one of the things that's made the biggest impact for me in my career, more so than going to college. I mean, I'm going to be completely honest, more so than getting a high-paying corporate job, more than starting a side hustle, really anything. It's learning how to be the kind of person who I can ask for my own self for guidance. Let me say that again. It's being the kind of person who I trust to ask myself for guidance. It's being able to listen to myself. I am probably the queen of needing external validation. It's something that I've worked on my entire life. I have 6 older siblings and they all have gone on to do amazing things. I had parents with pretty high expectations. And so naturally, I feel like I've had an overabundance in my life of people to look up to and people who were doing great things. And I wanted to be just like those people. I definitely see people with rose-colored glasses. I see the greatness in people. I am so... It's beautiful, right? It serves because it's so easy to be inspired. You look around the world and all you see is amazingness and people and all the things that they've accomplished, and it limits, you know, this belief system limits because it's very easy to outsource your power and that inspiration and that beauty and that those accolades to other people. And then looking at myself, I'm like, well, I'm just a chicken nugget, know nothing. And I'm just this like bag of bones and meat and fat and ligaments and hair that I have to carry around, right? Like, like seeing myself as like this meat suit that I have to drag around and take care of, and all the excitement and wonder and interesting things are in other people. And that sucks. Like, that belief system is hard. It's a hard pill to swallow because we constantly want to live vicariously through other people. We want to constantly be obsessed with other people when we have our own capacity and potential within ourselves. Like, our own life, our own bodies, our own brains are so infinitely interesting. And astrology, that's what we're going to be talking about today, is astrology. And I'm pretty certain that about half of you, I'm guessing like about half of you from my understanding, are just like a little astrology overwhelmed. You're like, I don't know anything about astrology. Please walk me through this. I'm intimidated, or I'm not sure how I feel about this. Like, just kind of not in with it on astrology. The other half of you, I'm willing to guess, you know everything about yourself. And maybe like a portion of you guys in that group would say, I know everything about myself. I just don't know how to apply it. And I would say, no matter what bucket you fall into, this is definitely the episode for you because I resonate with every single one of those. I resonate with being the astrology know-it-all with no applicable experience. I resonate with being the person who quit her job because of the Mercury Kazemian Aries. Like, I literally did that. I literally went all in on a planet and a star and a placement, something that, like, how are you gonna explain that to your parents? And I also resonate with feeling like my eyes would just glaze over when people would talk about the moon being in Pisces or all these words. It felt so jargony to me. And so now that's like my prayer in this moment is that my message comes through and that you walk away from this podcast feeling so much more empowered. You feel so much more excited about yourself. You're so excited to learn about yourself. That is my intention with this podcast episode today. So wherever you're at, whether you're astrology curious or an astrology know-it-all, or you're looking for deeper layers on how to like take yourself to the next level using astrology, you're definitely welcome here and you're definitely not alone. Like, just feel energetically, feel the collective energy for a minute. Just kind of close your eyes if you can and just imagine that there are tons of other people listening to this podcast episode right now, because there are a lot of you and there's room for all of you here, whether in the past, present, or future. You're not alone. There's this collective of people who are all learning about astrology, even if it's not through my content, it's through TikTok. There's just a big hive mind of people right now who are more curious about learning about themselves, and they're running on fumes trying to outsource their power to other people. So where you're at in your journey right now, you are absolutely not alone. And I'm going to give you the placements and the breakdowns and the action steps on where to go to learn more about yourself, because you are so much more powerful than you could possibly imagine. You are like, if you could just see anytime I've like learned from spiritual mentors, shamans, I've like talked to all sorts of people with vast spiritual knowledge, because I'm just a little normal chicken nugget. Like, I'm a normal girl. I'm like the most regular person in the world. But I have had conversations with people who have so much more access to spiritual vision and sight and sentience. And I've worked on my own spiritual gifts over the years. And there's one thing that I just keep remembering over and over again, is that we are so much bigger than we could possibly see. Like I said earlier, like if you see yourself as this, you know, bag of bones that you're just dragging throughout the world, like you're just this thing that needs to have its teeth brushed and taken care of and drink water so that you don't die, you are seeing like the tiniest, you know, fingernail of like pinky fingernail of the whole big picture that you are, that you could possibly be. And when I forget that, when I don't remember that, when I'm struggling with that concept, the thing that really does it for me is learning more about my astrology. And I want to preface this by saying that astrology for me is a divination tool. The best thing you can learn about astrology is how to read your own chart and interpret all of these words for yourself. Because the way that you, the way that it hits when you are doing, when you're looking at your own astrology chart and you get it, it's like the same vibes as like doing a math problem that was once very complicated and it just clicks, like the equation balances. You just get it. And it feels like all the lights have turned on. That's how astrology feels for me, with way less complication. To me, honestly, astrology is way less complicated than like algebra equations personally, but there is some math to it. So it does feel a little like earned, like, oh yeah, like I've earned this. And it's also, the amazing thing about astrology is you can literally Google anything about it. You can Google, what does this placement mean? What does that placement mean? What's a Mercury conjunction? Like you can Google all these things, and I frequently do. So I'm going to kind of give you like a little formula here. And what you do with this, I would say, is like on you. So the formula I'm going to give here is, we're going to build our alter ego. Remember when I said earlier about the best thing that I've ever done for my career? The best thing that I've ever possibly done for my career is to build an alter ego for myself. People talk about, like, if you're in the manifestation community, if you've heard of the phrase like higher self, if you've heard the phrase like, you know, building a villain, like your villain era, people talk about, essentially, they're all expressing the same thing in different ways, is that there really does need to be a version of you that has the sight and the vision and the desire and the drive that you might not have every single day. Because the fact of the matter is that we are going to feel like chicken nuggets many, many days. Your ego is going to be in the dirt. You're going to feel, you know, lackluster. You're going to feel like you're not living up to expectations. And so building this other version of you is going to be the most sustainable way for you to keep, for you to continue growing. So let me give you like a framework, the skeleton, like the bones of what this higher version of yourself looks like. And then the in-between pieces, like the organs and the meat and the ligaments and all the body things that I keep saying here, all of these things, I want you to play with, I want you to tinker with, I want you to experiment with, and I want you to really see how you feel about this. Because the fact of the matter is that nobody can hand you an alter ego. I can't do that for you. That's actually, I've done a lot of astrology readings over the years, and these were the points in people's charts that I was the most excited by. And I would tell people, like, this is like your alter ego. And I would get really excited about it. And I would assign them homework on the things in their chart that I would find. And I would never really know if these people went out and did it or not. But the ones who did would come back and be like, I just got a raise at work. Or like, I just started a side hustle and it's going really well and I'm having lots of fun with it. I would hear these wins from people who would take action on it. And so that's why I started to, you know, really, really shape out my signature program right now, which is the Empowered Paycheck. I would become really, really inspired and motivated by the people who did listen and who did take action on this and did see results, because they took the action, right? Like, action takers, right? Get results. They did the thing. So without further ado, those four points are, number one, your midheaven. Your midheaven, it's also, look, it looks like your MC. It's like a little MC. This is known as the highest point of the stars. It's called like the highest point in your chart. It's the highest star in the sky when you were born. And your midheaven is known as your community face. Like this is how I interpret it. And this is how it empowers me and my clients as well, is that the midheaven is your community face. It's when you stand up on stage and you're on a podium, everyone's looking at you. You're the organizer. You're in charge. You're the boss. This is your highest potential. This is what your community needs from you. This is like your leadership pants, right? You put on your leadership pants, your pantsuit, your stilettos, your fancy headband that makes you feel like a queen. Whatever that is for you, the answer in that can be found in your midheaven. So what you should do is I would literally do this right now if I were you. I would Google, you know, your midheaven, for example. I'm going to use myself as an example, and I would love actually to do this live with somebody else. I think that'd be really, really cool if I could do like a live astrology reading for you guys. In fact, I'm going to leave a booking link in here. If you want to book a 20-minute call with me, I can do this for you. Like I got the time, guys. Like I have time on my calendar. Like book a 20-minute call and I will walk you through this entire process if you want. So without further ado, I'll use myself as an example. My midheaven is in Libra in the 11th house. Libra is associated with beauty, the planet Venus. It's associated with, balance, fairness, taking action to bring things into balance. And it's in the 11th house, the house of community and public image. So for me being in my Libra in the 11th house, to me, what that means for me, this is the most important part, is what it means for me and how it feels, for how I feel when I'm reading this. For me, I am getting a lot of, a lot of beauty and a lot of balance. It's like, I'm not really meant to be very triggering. I'm meant to be very stable, with like a stable leadership energy. That's how I feel. So when kind of shit's hitting the fan, I don't really feel like I resonate with being controversial. I don't feel like I want to piss people off. I don't want to be incredibly divisive. I want to be a stable, solid, balanced leader in the face of division. That's how I feel about it. Like I often am thinking about like, what is the most community oriented way to think about this? And as far as like physical aesthetics, like this is the fun part. It's like, I really like to think about the color pink. I'm really motivated by Barbie. I'm really motivated by, the goddess Aphrodite. That's just what lights me up and makes me feel most in my leadership energy. And then the community and public roles. I love social media. I love community events. I love teaching yoga. Like anything that just makes me feel like I'm getting a community together is really where I shine. That being said, that isn't where I need to be all the time. My midheaven is not who I need to be all the time. And we'll kind of get into that when we talk about your moon sign. So your second house is your money. Like that's yourself. It's like your own resources. And your second house is often how you would enjoy and appreciate making money, how money is going to feel more fun for you. It's also going to be the answer and the relief and the salve to your money objections, like your fears around making money, your fears around spending money. The answer to that is going to be in your second house zodiac. So don't look at the planets in the second house. Look at the zodiac in your second house. So for example, my second house is in Capricorn. And so if you're kind of having trouble with that, what is your rising sign? And then what is the zodiac sign after your rising sign? So like if your rising is in Aries, then your second house would be in Taurus, for example. So don't overthink that one too much, but just like, what is the zodiac sign associated with your second house? And then that will be the answer to how you have fun making money. What do you like doing? Do you want to start a business? Do you want, do you want to bring comfort to the world? Do you want your money making ventures to feel comforting? Do you want them to feel exciting? Whatever that is. And I'll use myself as an example. My second house is in Capricorn. And so for me, if I like what tends to be one of my biggest money objections is there's not enough money. Like money is finite. That's all that there is. And Capricorn being the disciplined, very disciplined, high climbing, ambitious sign. It's like the most disciplined and ambitious sign. If I apply ambition and discipline to my finances, I can always make more. So that's a very good example of Capricorn in the second house. The third one is your moon. So your moon is how other people do not see you unless you integrate it into yourself. So remember what I said about your midheaven. Your midheaven is a very public persona. Your midheaven is how people see you, even if that's not how you see yourself. It's like kind of who you are on stage. Your like your work outfit, like your work persona. Your moon sign is how you see yourself when all is said and done and you go home and the door is closed and you're by yourself. This is how you nourish yourself. This is the part of you that you should integrate if you don't want to burn out. So if you feel like you've been pretending to be this person you're not in order to succeed in your career, integrating your moon into your everyday life by establishing rituals, by establishing routines and identities and just all these little like habits that embody your moon sign are going to help you prevent burnout. And it's going to make you feel like you can just be yourself in the world. So for example, this one's interesting for me because my moon sign is in Pisces. My moon sign being in Pisces means that I see myself as very intuitive and dreamy and artsy and very sensitive, but there are no other water placements in my chart anywhere else. Meaning if I'm not incredibly careful, my moon sign will swallow me whole. Like I will feel like there's just this huge gap between how other people perceive me and how I perceive myself. So what I need to do is to be more upfront and own that part of myself, own the artsy part of myself, the sensitive side of myself, because other people are never going to claim that for me. So if you look at your moon sign and you're like, ooh, I don't resonate with that, which a lot of people do, I often find that often people have a hard time resonating with their midheaven. People have a hard time resonating with their midheaven because it kind of depends, right? Like it kind of depends because your midheaven, if you are someone who's like very public facing, you're always giving, 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 creating, 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 working, 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 people often do resonate with their midheavens. And then they don't resonate with their moon. And then this opposite is true. If people are like very introverted, they don't, they kind of keep to themselves. They don't like to put themselves out in front of other people. The opposite happens. So how do we have a career that's fulfilling and exciting is by balancing the two. And then the second house is how you make money for it, right? Like, do you see how these are all so important? So your moon sign is where you go. Every astrology sign is associated with a physical location or an activity. Like every single astrology sign will have some sort of activity associated with it. So Pisces, I think about, you know, going into salt water, going into the ocean, taking a shower. That is where my higher self will meet me. So I get my best ideas in the shower or any sort of salty water. Like just any time that I am in water or I'm listening to music, I feel like my higher self can speak to me. So one of my favorite activities is driving and listening to really loud music. That is where I feel like my brain can kind of reach a flow state and my higher self can speak to me. If I haven't done those things, like stood under running water in the shower or gone to a salt float tank or driving while listening to music, then I feel like I'm just so detached from my higher self and I feel like a total muggle. So if you're feeling really muggly these days, I would literally Google your moon sign. Bonus points if you want to include the house, but I don't think you necessarily have to do that. Google your moon sign and add activities and go do one of those things and tell me you don't feel more magical. Like come back, book a call with me and say it to my face that you don't feel more magical after doing that. So I'll give another example. My husband's moon sign is in Sagittarius. Sagittarius moon, I would say like traveling, getting out in nature, learning something new is very higher self associated. So for me, I love learning new things. It's like definitely a part of my purpose and my mission, but I wouldn't necessarily say that my higher self can like speak to me there because I'm a little distracted. Like I'm just thinking of other things. I feel like when I'm learning, I'm doing it for other people so that I can teach them, not necessarily for my own self, but that could be different for you. So go do that thing right now. And lastly, I'm going to throw in a little bonus for you guys that I don't really talk about other places, but in order to have a very successful, happy career, I would really recommend that you guys incorporate your Jupiter. So what part of your Jupiter is your growth. It's your expansion. It says more. So one thing that really unfulfills people in their career is that there is no growth, room for growth. There's no growth trajectory. You're kind of stuck doing the same thing every day. That's what I've experienced. And that's what I hear from a lot of my clients and students. is, you know, just feeling like things are flat and feeling like they're doing the same thing every day. And your Jupiter is going to tell you in what areas of the world, in what areas of yourself, in your mind, in your psyche, in the world, like in your community, on the internet, where can you find essentially limitless growth? So I'll use myself for an example again. My Jupiter is in the 12th house in Scorpio. So as long as we're talking about the subconscious mind, as long as we're talking about mysticism and taboo things, I could go down like a total wormhole about all those things, psychology, the brain, like magic, spirituality, all of that stuff is like a kid. I'm a kid in a candy store with that kind of stuff. So for you, it's, you know, I would Google your Jupiter and your, where's your Jupiter? What's your Jupiter doing? What's going on there? And Google those things and ask yourself if what comes up is something that you can incorporate in your career. And if you're Googling it and you're like, what the heck? All I see are blogs and YouTube videos. Honestly, what I would do, and this is what I have done and I continue to do, is find words that jump out at you and make you feel excited. This requires a level of self-awareness and self-motivation and discipline, discipline to yourself that a lot of people just quite frankly don't have, which is why a lot of people aren't into astrology, why a lot of people don't get it, why a lot of people don't live their dream life. But for the, you know, maybe 25% of the population who actually take advantage of these opportunities to become more self-aware. And I know the people who find themselves on a podcast called How to Be Your Own Muse are like that. Those people are the ones who really see great return. Like they feel more fulfilled. They get access to revenue streams that they hadn't seen before. Like they just get more ideas. So write all these down. Again, I'll tell them midheaven, second house, moon and Jupiter. Write down the words that jump out at you that feel the most exciting to you. Take action on all of them in some capacity. And like, seriously tell me that doesn't just like excite you. And if you're like, I don't know, Katie, I don't know how to, you know, incorporate mysticism or going outside in my career, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you start really small with like the tiniest of side hustles. Like you take these, form an alter ego for yourself. And if you want practice building up this alter ego, I would recommend you start with like a tiny little side hustle. That could mean doing astrology readings, human design readings. That could mean going to your community and cutting grass. That could mean putting together things and selling them on Etsy. Like, you know your skill set and you know you. And so the best way to build your alter ego, reflect and refine on it and make your alter ego stronger, is to start with the tiniest of side hustles. Like you could literally do 1 hour of work a week if you want. I mean, if you want to really see results and work there faster, I'd recommend you kind of up that a little bit. But side hustles, I think, are such a powerful way to get to know yourself in a really low stakes environment. And it doesn't have to be this huge, crazy thing where you're door dashing all day. Like it really could just be you experimenting and playing and pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, making content or whatever that thing is for you is like, that's just what I'm so, what I just feel so passionately about is like our side hustles are ways where we can get to know ourselves, strengthen ourselves, and rewire our brains with how we see money and work. Because I think that this world kind of has us almost, it was almost incredibly fucked when it comes to work and money. Like a lot of us are really burnt out and exhausted. And this is like the corner of the world that really, we really, really get to reclaim these things. And what's super, super exciting about that is nobody can tell us how to do that. And I can say from total experience that I was so unhappy in my career in 2017. I was working a desk job and I was so incredibly unhappy that I was like willing to try anything. I was like Googling all this stuff, watching tons of YouTube videos about astrology. And my first ever little tiny side hustle was copywriting and then yoga teaching. And then I did all the side hustles, you guys. I've done them all. My first ever side hustle was copywriting. And then over years, I let myself be a little witchier and a little weirder and a little more open and vulnerable. And to this day, I now just have like this community of people who are basically always hiring and all the skill sets I have. So I don't really feel like I ever have to worry about work for the rest of my life, which is a pretty powerful place to be. But it took a lot of, you know, work and bravery and self-sovereignty to get there. So I'm going to leave you to it. Next steps for you guys is to write those things out, take action on all of them, book a 20-minute call with me and tell me that it didn't work. Tell me that it didn't blow your mind. And if you're struggling, I'm here to help you. I'm definitely open to talking to you guys for a 20-minute call to help you position your alter ego self. And if you need a couple side hustle ideas, I got some too. So that's all that I have for you guys today. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening.